Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Look, let's react to the fact that the Toronto Raptors are the champions of the NBA. And as much as the reality of this and the context of what took place last night, which was a kind of the culmination of a tragic series of injuries for the Golden State Warriors, which started with Kevin Durant, who missed all but 12 minutes of the series. And then, of course, Durant tears his Achilles tendon. And last night, Klay Thompson, we now know, has torn his ACL. Combine that with Boogie Cousins being a shell of himself because he missed most of the playoffs and most of the regular season due to two very different injuries. Andre Iguodala playing hurt. Kevon Looney playing hurt. Andrew Bogut not playing because he's hurt and because he's old. And yes, the Raptors technically won the game. Steph Curry had a chance to win it late. He missed a three. That after a terrible turnover by Danny Green, the likes of which could have been in the range of Isaiah Thomas taking the ball out and throwing it in, and Larry Bird. Bird steals the ball. That's how big that turnover could have been. But alas, the Raptors were very fortunate and challenged Steph Curry's jump shot at Oracle. It missed. A timeout that didn't really matter took place. And the Toronto Raptors are the champions. So they beat a team that was a shell of their former self, but they did beat them three times on their own floor at Oracle Arena, closing out that old building, which had seen more games than any place in the NBA outside of Madison Square Garden. Closing out that old building in a really kind of eerie fashion. Then we have the Masai Ujiri getting into it with security guard because he didn't have the right credential and wasn't presenting it, and so I guess he took a swing at the security guard, and now it's an international incident. Plus, we have all the other ramifications with what could take place in the offseason with free agency, as Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant could be unrestricted free agents to go along with the potential and likely trade of Anthony Davis from New Orleans, Kemba Walker's pending free agency, Kyrie Irving's free agency, etc. And Kawhi Leonard, what happens there? Like that was the last basketball game in the NBA that'll be played, but not the last time we'll be talking about the NBA until the season begins next year. But I always wonder when the moment was when something tipped. Have you read the book by Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point? Now, the truth is that there really isn't a moment that most of the case studies that Malcolm Gladwell uses tipped. But the idea is, when do trends become trends and when do they go cold? To steal from the, and this is a very dated, but I know Beyer will get it because though he doesn't watch movies, he does watch TV shows and he is from Wisconsin. Probably the most overused expression is, when did something jump the shark? And jumping the shark is a reference to Happy Days, when an episode that was so terrible, so awful, that even cliches wouldn't touch it. It's when the Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli, literally jumped a shark on Happy Days. And that was the moment where you realized that Happy Days, as we had previously known it, was over. When did Rome fall? When did ancient Greece fall? I remember the HBO TV show Rome, right? And you saw the kind of chinks in the armor of the great Roman Empire. Well, I can tell you when Rome fell in the NBA, and it was last night when Klay Thompson drove to the basket, actually dunked the basketball, got fouled, but landed awkwardly and tore his ACL. Now, it's going to go down in ancient Warriors lore that he wanted to come back in the game. Matter of fact, during the TV timeout, he left the game, walked down the tunnel and then walk back and then check back into the game, all without necessarily checking out. Made two free throws. They end up fouling and not taking him out after the two made free throws, which, by the way, I mean, if you want to really trace it back and you want to get into these things, Pascal Siakam knocks down those two free throws. If they don't intentionally foul, what is the final score? But if you factor in that Klay Thompson won't be able to play for at least half of the NBA season next year, if and when he resigns with the Golden State Warriors, or maybe he does not, if you factor in that Kevin Durant won't be able to play for three quarters to potentially all of the Warriors' season next year, even if he resigns, you'd have to reasonably take the Warriors out of contention for an entire season. And while you might sit here and go, all right, it's 1 year, right? Jordan missed a year and a half before he came back to the NBA, and that first year back, he wasn't sharp. He missed 2 years. He came back, and then they won three titles. I caution you because, look, 2 years, a year and a half is a long time. Steph Curry, as terrific as he is 31. He's had a history of injuries. And while he'll have to carry the Golden State Warriors through next season, the fact is that can wear you down and cause even more injuries. Right? So if you take next year off, everybody is a year and a half, 2 years older when they can make a championship run, and the entire NBA will have changed by then. You don't believe me? Look at the NBA now, and then look at the NBA 2 seasons ago. Two whole seasons ago, Kyrie Irving was on the Cavs with Kevin Love and LeBron James. That was only 2 years ago, right? Go back and look at all the different player movement. Go back and look at all the guys that have emerged. Stands to reason that in 2 years, Giannis Antetokounmpo will have a more polished game. The same can be said, if healthy, for Joel Embiid, for Ben Simmons. We'll see what happens with Jason Tatum. These young players will be fresher and better than the older Warriors. And there's a group of older players. You know, James Harden right now is in his prime, but Chris Paul is not. What happens? The whole league's going to change. Forget the game last night. That became, if the Warriors somehow found a way to win that game, they're not winning Game 7 without Klay Thompson, without Kevin Durant. It was a crowning moment for the Toronto Raptors. But it was also, that's the moment that Rome fell. A 5-year improbable run where Klay Thompson missed all of one game. Where they added arguably the best player in the game midway through that run. Draymond Green in his prime. Steph Curry in his prime. Klay Thompson in his prime. Kevin Durant in his prime. And the newness of Steve Kerr and the fresh play with joy, ball movement approach. All of those things. 2 years from now, the league's going to completely be different. And the likelihood of running it back, of playing it again, is nominal at best. What you saw last night was not just the last night of the Oracle. An old building which had been redone, but became a magnificent palace to celebrate basketball. What you saw last night was the last stand of the Roman Empire. And ultimately, Rome fell, as did the Warriors.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the elite insiders in all of sports media covering the NBA, Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, a senior NBA insider, kind enough to spend some time with us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Chris, let's start with, well, I'll get to your most recent report, which you broke about Jimmy Butler a little bit later on. But in terms of last night, the things that will not go discussed, how terrible was that turnover from Danny Green? Like, now we're just, you saw Majiri, he went for it. Like, they got the ball with a 1-point lead, and Danny Green freaks out and throws one in the stands.
Yeah, obviously that's not being discussed a lot now because it's irrelevant at this point. But no, that was definitely could have been a dearly costly blunder. And if you look at the way, you know, the way it all transpired, you know, he still had his dribble. You know, he could have took a couple dribbles to get himself, you know, out of that trap area along the baseline. But I think he just panicked and threw it away. And but no, definitely they overcame what could have been a costly blunder. And you know, I'm pretty sure he feels good about that right now.
Yeah, no, it's really kind of amazing. Give me some insight into this Masai Ujiri thing, because we've seen the video now where he gets into it with a security guard because allegedly wasn't presenting the right credential, which I do understand can happen, and it's a miscommunication. Will everybody just go like our bad and move on, or does this thing get worse before it gets better?
I don't know how to answer that. But I will say this, is that, you know, we've seen the clips, we all seen them, but it's really the aftermath of what initially happened. You know, we don't see the blow allegedly that he swung on the officer. All we've seen is an individual who I know who that individual is, you know, kind of holding Masai, separating him from the cops. It looked like the cops, they were going to tase him. That's what it looked like. It's like they're going to tase him right there on the spot. And so I think until, you know, video evidence comes out, look, it's in the arena. You know, it's going to come out somehow. Video evidence of exactly what happened. I think we have to wait to see, you know, what's on that film to see if what is alleged to happen actually happened. So I don't think this is something that's going to die down or blow over until we see video.
Will it, in your opinion, have an effect on the Wizards' pending offer, which has been discussed by people?
I think it definitely has to weigh in. And I'll say this, you know, Candace Buckner in the Post, you know, she reported that there isn't an imminent offer on the table. Now, I don't know if that is because of what happened last night, or she's saying that it was never in the plans at all. But no, definitely, this is something that you have to consider. I mean, look, come on. I mean, if what is alleged to have happened really happened, I mean, that's a serious offense. You know, you know, I don't know too many people who could get away with, you know, putting their hands on a cop and not have some type of robust consequences for those actions. So. No, I think this is a serious situation that, you know, we're going to continue to monitor. And like I said, until video comes out of the actual alleged incident, you know, I think we have to wait and see what happens from there.
Klay Thompson tears his ACL. It's been reported his dad says he's going to re-sign, no question. And we've seen Brian Windhorst say, look, they're going to offer him and KD their max and supermax contracts. What do you think the summer looks like for the Warriors?
I think Klay comes back for sure. I really do think so. At what cost, at what price? You know, I spoke with the owner, Joe Lacob, and he told me that, you know, this injury will not have any effect on what they decide to do with Klay Thompson. So it's definitely hard. Like, Klay deserves the max. That's what he wants. That's what he's worth. I would think he still would give it to Golden State. So I think everything would be all as well there. But the problem is, you know, obviously Klay won't be back until likely after the All-Star break. You know, if that. And then we talked about Kevin Durant. That situation is even more complicated, you know, because, you know, we were hearing rumors about, you know, he's already looking elsewhere anyway. So it's going to be a tough situation for Golden State. But I think this is something that I've never experienced before in covering the league almost 10 years, man. And this is unprecedented. To see two caliber players go down like that in the NBA Finals, and two players who happen to be free agents in a couple of weeks.
You crazy, know, right? I mean, like, crazy the way it happened. And neither were – they're both non-contact injuries.
Yeah, it's unprecedented, though. So I don't, you know, I don't want to sit here and BS everyone and act like I know, you know, what's going to happen, what takes place, because this is we haven't seen anything like this before. But I think obviously priority still is to, you know, retain Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. And I just think they have a better chance of getting one of those.
All right, so what about Kevin Durant? So far, everything that he has posted, everything his mother has said, there's been no negativity from Rich Kleiman, who apparently was in on the decision to allow him to play in Game 5. What was he told? What legitimately was he told about his leg before he took the floor in Game 5?
Well, I mean, from what I'm hearing, you know, it's what the Warriors are saying. You know, it was a collaborative decision from the Warriors doctors, from Kevin Durant himself, and from Durant's outside counsel of doctors. So they all agreed. They all agreed that the extent of which he, if he were to re-injure himself, that it would just be a calf injury. Nobody expected it to be this severe. And so it was just a catastrophic blow, man. To go in there and play 11 to 12 minutes, man, and it costs you another a full season of basketball, man. That's tough, especially when you hit your early 30s, man. When you have a limited amount of years of prime left in your body, that's a devastating blow, man. It's tough. I felt sorry for him, man. It was, like I said, to happen in the NBA Finals like that, man. It's at any time, at any juncture, is bad, but it's just the way it all played down. It was just an eerie feeling, but like to the last two games, it's just been unreal, man. It's something I've never covered, never seen. It's unprecedented, man. So I think the Golden State Warriors, I think they're just in a state of shock and disarray because they don't know the future.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even discussed, you know, does Sean Livingston retire? How much more does Andre Iguodala want to play, right? These are incredibly impactful pieces to this championship puzzle that we don't know how they put together in the future. All right, so KD's injury, I'm sure New York's still going to go after him because, I mean, hell, they're New York. They have to have Kevin Durant. But how does this change everything else for Kevin Durant?
It doesn't really much change. You know, the teams are still going to offer him the max, period. That's the simple fact of the matter. The only thing that changes is that, you know, if Kevin Durant does leave Golden State, you know, that team would just have to punt another year, you know, try to accumulate some more assets, maybe get another high draft pick. That's the only thing. They'll be investing a whole year into his rehab. You know, which could be beneficial to Kevin Durant if you're looking at, you know, if you're trying to look on the bright side of things, you know, the wear and tear, you can give, you know, preserve his body. But it's going to be tough, man. Kevin Durant, like, one thing about Kevin Durant, and I've covered LeBron day to day, I've covered Damian Lillard day to day, covered Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry. The difference between Kevin Durant and those guys is Kevin Durant is a pure hooper. Like,
yeah, he has no hobby, no hobbies, right?
No, yeah, like he has hobbies. He has other things, but I'm talking about business ventures. But you know, his manager takes care of a lot of those things, and he's a hooper. He's a straight hooper. That's all he wants to do. He'll show up at a park and just play randomly. That's the type of dude he is. So for him to be out like this is just devastating for him, man. It's really a crushing blow. But as far as financially, I don't think it's going to impact him financially at all.
And then you mentioned things we haven't seen before. We got Kawhi Leonard, who wins the Finals MVP, wins another championship, and now we kind of wait to hear what Kawhi is going to do. Chris Haynes joining us from Yahoo Sports, NBA senior NBA insider. How do you think winning a championship affects Kawhi's decision?
That's a good question. I'll say this. I think when you look at Kawhi, he's always talked about playing basketball. You know, it's just that's a hobby for him. Like, this is fun. This is what he wants to do. But he doesn't take it too seriously. If you look at his career, he's already accomplished multiple NBA champion, multiple finals MVP. So he has that on his resume already. You know, when we were reporting, back when he wanted to be traded about L.A. being the destination he wanted to, you know, go to, he wanted to be close to home, you know, that was beyond basketball. You know, that was just about a comfort level. And so I look at it now, like, to answer your question, I don't know what he's going to do, but I will say this, is that he's given Toronto, you know, all that they could have ever asked for, and probably even more. I don't think anybody expected him 1 year, coming off of the year he had where he was injured, didn't play much, to come and lead a team to a championship. A franchise never had it. They longed for it. So I think if he were to leave, I don't think Raptor fans would be upset, or I don't think they should be upset, because he took them to the promised land. He did it. And so I think he should have a free pass to do whatever he wants to do without any type of repercussions. And you just don't know. But you can definitely see, especially toward the latter part of the season with the Raptors, that he was really enjoying himself, really finding a trust level with the medical staff and the team and the personnel, because we know all that was lost in San Antonio last year. So I still think it's a very good chances of him staying in Toronto.
And then you have the Anthony Davis saga, which continues in New Orleans. The injury to Klay Thompson has to energize the Lakers and everybody really in the West to go for it, seeing as the Warriors are going to be down next year no matter what happens with their roster. Do you believe Anthony Davis will be a Laker by the NBA draft?
I think there's a good chance. And the reason I say that is, a couple different elements. You know, David Griffin running things over in New Orleans. He doesn't have the ill effects or the ill will towards what happened months ago, being during the trade deadline, because he wasn't there. So it's a fresh pair of eyes, fresh pair of perspective. And then you add Zion Williamson to the situation. You know, they want to put him around a great foundation, stress-free organization from the get-go. And so you don't want to have the Anthony Davis lingering effect going on. So I think all of that bodes well for the Lakers' chances of acquiring him, you know, by the draft, because you have those elements, you know. And then with Boston, it just hurts their chances. I really do think, because it doesn't look like Kyrie is re-signing. And then Anthony Davis' agent, Rich Paul, coming out publicly and basically stating that, you know, if they accept his trade for him, it's just a one-year rental. So it just doesn't look good for their chances. So that's why I think all those elements combined, I think it's a good shot that the Lakers pull this off.
Awesome stuff. Chris, we really appreciate you joining us. It's been an outstanding year, and I know it's just only just beginning with all of the off-season moves. Check out Chris Haynes' most recent podcast. It's posted up with Chris Haynes. Who do you have this week?
This week we're getting. I can't name the name, but it's an all-star guard. I'll just say it like that. And so we're hoping to get that up within the week or within the next 2 weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Agent Wojnarowski said this on Kawhi's future in Toronto. He came to Toronto with the idea from San Antonio that this was a very fine one-year way station, and I'm sure it exceeded his expectations how they managed him physically to be a finals MVP again, to win a championship. But there was always the risk of him going back west. The L.A. Clippers are at the very top of that list, and I think the Raptors still have work to do between now and June 30th and the start of free agency to keep Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Look, what I think is really important to recognize is that just because Kawhi Leonard decides to win a championship does not mean that a one-year rental is going to win you a championship. Like, look, Paul George decided to stay in Oklahoma City. So people are like, well, you know, Paul George, like, one, how'd that work out for him? Was that actually the best decision? And that's the decision distinct to Paul George. There's been plenty of other one-year guys. Kyrie Irving was in Boston 2 years with no promise. He actually made the promise to re-sign at the start of the year, and he's likely out. So, like, if you want to use one guy as a trend, that is such an ill-fated argument to make.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Jason Whitlock joins me now, and you can see him on Speak for Yourself. It's every day at 3 o'clock East Coast time, noon Eastern time on Fox Sports 1, longtime award-winning sports writer. Why did you come here? Like, you weren't
because I love watching Tiger Woods compete for the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. I was here in 2000 when he won by a million strokes. It was one of the greatest experiences of my sports life. And so me and about eight friends are here hoping to duplicate that magic, but it's not going to happen. I love Brooks Koepka now. I wanted Tiger to get to 400 today. I thought that was perfect position. Brooks Koepka is going to win this tournament.
I'm with you on Brooks. I was asked, who did you ask? Yes, Brooks or who? Rory McIlroy?
Rory, yeah.
And I said Brooks. Although, you know, Rory won last week, and Rory still hasn't teed off yet. So what's to say that he's not very much in contention? But Brooks has been remarkably impressive. I thought Dustin Johnson would be better yesterday than he was. He finished up even par. What was wrong with Tiger today?
He just didn't knock anything really close with his irons. He was better than he was yesterday because yesterday he got bailed out by his putter. He wasn't that great with his irons. But today he couldn't knock anything close, and then he just didn't get those magical putts that he knocked down yesterday.
All right, let's go to last night. You and I are watching the NBA Finals as it took place. There are some that are like, look, this really hurts the legacy of Steph Curry. I'm going to disagree from this standpoint.
How could it?
I've watched other people on TV. Yeah. I've heard other people on radio, and I'm like, they're playing a box in one. Like, they're playing a box in one in the NBA Finals.
Everybody on his team got hurt. How does this hurt his legacy?
Because he missed the last shot that could have
won
the game.
No, that's on Steve Kerr for drawing up a horrible bad shot. But, no, Steph doesn't get hurt in this. They damn near won last night. You know who got hurt last night? Toronto. You're going to put an asterisk by that championship.
No.
It's the same as when Hakeem won it. And, again, Hakeem's a great player. Kawhi Leonard's a great player. But all those damn injuries, we know Golden State was a better team.
I would agree with you. Do you think this is the end of the run for the Warriors?
No. But they got to recalibrate. If I were them, I would move on from Kevin Durant. And I would, you got to move on from Andre Iguodala. You got to regroup.
It's a lot like the Bulls. People forget that the Bulls' first run, they had one group. The second run, they had a different group. The only guys that remained were
Pippen,
Michael Jordan, and Pippen.
Yeah.
The rest were completely new, right? I mean, Dennis Rodman wasn't with the first group. It was Horace Grant. Second group was Dennis Rodman. You know, first group, it was first John Paxson and then B.J. Armstrong alongside him. Second group, it was, Steve Kerr and Ron Harper was also kind of the quasi-point guard there. So I would agree with you. Why would you move on from Kevin Durant?
Because he's coming off an Achilles injury. He's going to miss a year. It's hard for me to see him being the same player. You got to keep Clay, I would think. And then I would sit around and have a conversation about how really committed are we to Draymond. I would have the conversation. I'm not saying, but dude, the guy had 30 turnovers in this series.
Well, he's also he's their point guard, right? Like, it's one of those things.
He had 30 turnovers. He had eight last night.
I understand. I understand. Part of it is the guy that he's trying to get the ball to isn't open much, and the guys that are open are open for a reason. Like,
it's
really and but
just having a conversation.
No, I understand. But the other part to it, like, here's the hard part to Draymond.
Yeah,
is I don't think he can go anywhere where he is as effective and as important as he is in Golden State. On the other hand, they can't let him go anywhere because there just aren't that many other Draymond Greens who can pass the way he can, guard all five positions, and occasionally make shots. Like, it's a really hard thing. Like,
then I would recalibrate and maybe get a point guard who doesn't do much else other than handle the ball, Lonzo Ball, you know, again, he's not open. Right, he's not available. But he might be an ideal, like, point guard for them, can defend, distribute the ball. They doesn't need to be a scorer. Find him at Avery Johnson and go about it a different way. Get the ball out of Steph's hand because, you know, he'll turn it over too. And he sets a tone for sloppiness that leads to silly turnovers. Again, I love Steph.
No, great. But you're simply pointing out the reality of, like, he is a point guard, but he's not. He will make creative passes, but he'll also turn it over. He gets steals, but he's not really a good defender.
Yeah.
Right? But and you have to live with the fact that he's going to take some crazy shots.
Yes.
And then he throws them in a ridiculous percentage, the likes of which, like, as long you have to understand what you have. I don't think you can get a non-scoring. You have to get somebody who can really guard, and have to get somebody who can shoot to so the defense has to respect him. Right, and it's a hard thing.
Can't
to
be
find.
Gottlieb. It's got to be somewhere in between Gottlieb and Jason Kidd.
yeah. If you can find that, it's hard to find. Okay, so if you're Kevin Durant, what do you do?
Well, if I'm Kevin Durant, what I do is I stay in Golden State. I think that's the ideal situation for him. If I were him, I'd want to stay there and, you know, get a max contract, redshirt a year, come back and play with Steph and Klay and Dre.
See, the thing is, they're not going to win next year. No matter, you know, if Klay stays, if Klay and KD stay, I could both of them play next year? Sure. Are they going to be themselves next year? No, more than likely they're not. And we go 2 years from now.
When did they think, like, Klay would be ready to play? January?
I mean, ACLs, you could be back. I mean, you could be back as early in the season. But the likelihood, like, now Golden State's going to be gunshot. They ain't playing anybody early, right? Like, they're going to be super.
The guys they care about, they won't play. They don't care about KD. They thought he was leaving, so they stuck him out there on the court.
I don't think that's
treating like a rented mule.
Why do you think that?
Because it's factual.
No, it's not.
They played the man – hadn't played in a month, and they set him out there for 12 of the first 14 minutes, let him jump center, let him think he could take people off the dribble like nothing had changed. They didn't protect the dude at all because they thought he was leaving and said, hey, let's try to steal the championship. Desperation.
I know you see the bad in people, right? Maybe I have a blind
spot.
No, that's
not what I'm saying.
No, you're saying that they treat him like a rented mule. That is seeing the bad in people. Mm-hmm. I see it as, dude, he wanted to play. You don't think he brought in his own doctors?
I'm sure he wanted to play. You can tell him no. There's a lot of things your kids want you don't give them. I wanted a cookie every night. My parents gave it to me and it was a mistake.
I personally think that they had to know there was a chance it was already slightly torn.
Then why are you crying? Huh? Why is Bob Myers crying if he thought this through? He wouldn't be out there with those crocodile tears if he thought this was a possibility. Why Steve Kerr? We're going to let Bob Myers answer all questions. But let me tell you about immigration. Let me tell you what Trump's doing wrong in the White House. I know nothing about Kevin Durant and this injury. I've got nothing to say. I don't know anything about it. That's Bob Myers. But if you want to talk immigration, you want to talk world peace, gun violence,
there's also
school shootings, I can do all that. We can do that all day.
But there's also protocol in how you talk about team business.
Well, you're the head coach. You stuck him out there for 12 of the first 14 minutes. You had him jump in center. Answer some damn questions. Don't run and hide. You don't run and hide on anything else.
No, I mean, all he can do is if he's cleared, he can play him. If he doesn't clear it, he can't play him. That's the only way he can – he's supposed to answer questions. And having been a GM in the league, I think he knows that. I think that was more about protocol. I saw your piece on it, and I think that's more what Steve Kerr was getting to. I do wonder because
I've talked – shut your pie hole on other stuff you don't know a damn thing about. Follow protocol there.
But there is no protocol there.
I don't
want to
hear him on immigration. I want to hear him on basketball and why Kevin Durant was stuck out there like a rented mule. I want to hear him address that
more than I want to hear him on all this other crap. If he was a rented mule, they're going to offer him the Supermax. Wouldn't that go counter to the idea?
I hope they do because that'll be guilt. That'll be called basketball guilt, and they'll give him a max contract. I hope they do. They owe it to him.
What do the Lakers do next year?
Well, I guess it sounds like they're going to get Anthony Davis and the world will be healed and LeBron will be magically restored back to 2008 LeBron James. He's going to play both ends of the court because Anthony Davis is there. That's the narrative. Anthony Davis shows up and his championship batters just flow down on Staples Center. I'm not 100% convinced because LeBron's old. He can't play both ends of the court anymore. AD doesn't win a lot in New Orleans.
I'm not sure they actually fit together that well. Like, I think defensively, AD can cover – can cover for LeBron, and if they keep Kuzma and whoever else they have. But offensively, like, the big guys that play with LeBron James are guys that stand out in the corner and take jump shots. That's not what Anthony Davis does.
No. But he will with LeBron because that's what everybody does.
I understand.
He'll be Chris Bosh, Kevin Love 2.0.
Yeah, and I just don't understand. I don't understand how that works, though, right? Like, it worked because they had, because LeBron was prime LeBron, and because they had Kyrie. But I'm not convinced that works in LA with the Lakers. All right, so you don't think the Warriors are done, but you think they have to recalibrate?
Yeah, I'm not convinced the Warriors are done. Look, the NBA for the first time in years, wide open.
Totally.
Wide open. And so, you know, we got to see what the Clippers add. We got to see, you know, I guess New York's not really in it, but we got to see. Maybe Milwaukee does something. And find somebody that can bail out Giannis.
Or Houston. Let's see what Houston does.
I don't like Houston.
I don't either. But
they don't like D'Antoni. Chris Paul is the albatross now. James Harden's been exposed. You know, he's a great January, February player, but May, June, as soon as the heat turns up, as soon as people take their jackets off, he's not the same player.
I think what's interesting there is you talk about the recalibration of the Warriors. Remember, if it's in 2 years, now Steph's 31, right? And you mentioned if they keep KD, they don't. How much are we doing a snapshot of right now and not realizing that the league will change and these players oftentimes will not be better 2 years from now because that's when the Warriors will be have a shot again?
Let me tell you the team that interests me, and I'm being serious, depending on how this trade goes. The Pelicans,
yep.
Actually. Zion Williamson, I believe, is going to be a superstar in this league. I think he's going, particularly in the regular season, he's just going to be a force of nature. I think by the time, even in his rookie year, I think with the right piece of Pelicans, to me, could, depending on how this trade goes, what they put around, Drew Holiday, I like, 2 years from now, I think they may be a title contender.
There's no question. Think about this. If you have Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson, and whatever else they add some veteran pieces. Like, that's an unbelievable defensive team, unbelievable group of young athletes, three of which right now are under rookie contracts. Even in 2 years, two will be under rookie contracts. So you can go out and spend a bunch of money.
They have a real chip on their shoulder, too.
Yes.
Real chip on
yes.
their shoulder.
Yes, yes. How would you characterize Kawhi Leonard? Like, when coming into the year, I always thought, well, he's third best player in the NBA. KD and LeBron, 1 and 2. Now LeBron appears to have aged. KD has a torn Achilles tendon. Is Kawhi Leonard the best player in the NBA?
Yeah, because I'm not ready to go there with Giannis because Giannis isn't a guy that you can get buckets with in the last 2 or 3 minutes. He's just not a guy you throw it to. And so, yeah, Kawhi Leonard right now is 1 or 2. Look, some people say James Harden or whatever. I'm not that guy, but I'll tell you what is interesting. We're gonna overvalue Kawhi a bit because Toronto has stolen this championship because the Warriors were beat up.
Yeah, recency bias and result bias as well. Right,
they were going to lose
yes.
last night.
Yes.
If Klay doesn't get hurt.
Yes, I mean, like, perfect
and
example.
If that goes seven.
Perfect example is Danny Green's a winner. Like, dude, I just saw Danny Green airmail a pass where all he had to do was hold on to it and get fouled, make two free throws, and they got a 3-point lead. But because
it's
of the
– bad team that just won a championship. Think about this. A buddy of mine texted me last night. Should LeBron have stayed in the East? Could LeBron and whatever scraps they put together in
yes.
Cleveland, were they better than Toronto and would have won this title?
They would definitely would have had a shot. I mean, it would have been – I mean, look, the Philadelphia 76ers are one crazy bounce away from forcing overtime on the road game 7. And no one thought the Philadelphia 76ers were some elite, refined, perfect team. They had no bench at all. So to answer your question, yeah, like I tweeted that out. LeBron James, the MVP of this NBA Finals, because he left and he opened up the East, and this is what happened. Jason Whitlock, the show is Speak for Yourself every day, Monday through Friday on Fox Sports 1. At 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific. Okay, so Tiger not totally in it.
No,
there's like two tournaments, right?
A lot more drinking going on now. I don't have to watch as much golf. We can just do a lot more drinking.
What is the tequila
Casa
choice?
Casa Dragones. A lot of drinking and eating going on for the next 2 days.
That's Jason Whitlock. He's going to eat his sorrows, drink his sorrows, live here from the U.S. Open.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.